Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach. And just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
I always wondered why they called it the dead of winter. It's because you want to die.
Is it?
It's cold.
Dude. It gets dark early.
It's depressing.
When it's sunny, it's never above your visor or above your windshield, so it's like you're always driving into the sun.
It makes you wear sunglasses.
Yeah.
Just to be a dick.
Yeah.
Because the glare's so bad.
Yeah.
We've been spoiled. It's been warm. Yesterday was cold. Today's cold. Dude, this weekend they're talking like -5.
Yep.
For like 3 days.
Yeah.
And then like a high of 15.
It's all part of it.
Every winter. I'm like,
I close my eyes and mentally, I hear the little waves lapping up against the side of the boat while the songs are changing on the radio.
I'm too smart for that. That just makes me more depressed because I know I'm going to open my eyes and none of that shit's going to be real.
It'll be there soon. Hey.
Is it?
Do you know how to be thrifty? Instead of buying winter clothes.
Don't go outside? Agree 100%.
You just go to Cancun. And then you wear your summer clothes in Cancun, and you don't have to buy new clothes.
Man, I've never been able to really grasp the concept of snowbirds, people that have two homes, and then they go and live in one, like December, January, February, March, or January, February, March. Like, I feel like that would be weird. Like, it wouldn't be my home. Like, I wouldn't feel like either one of them was my safe in home
your
environment.
Domicile.
Yeah. But I'm starting to understand it.
Yeah.
I'm starting to really understand it.
Yeah.
And I'm not even talking beach. I'm just talking like Georgia.
This weekend.
You know, something like that.
Mason went out to that property that we almost bought and was riding four-wheelers and stuff. And we had some family in town, so Mason took his little cousin with him.
Oh, shit.
And Mason's like, you got to go, Dad. And I'm like, nope. It's like 29 degrees. I don't want to be blasting around on a four-wheeler in 29 degree weather.
I'm not young and full of energy.
Yeah. There's a fire in the fireplace. I got football on TV. I'm wearing sweatpants. Like, I'm comfy.
I don't ever wear sweatpants out of the house, hardly ever. I'm wearing sweatpants today.
I only do at the gym.
I'm wearing them today. Layla bought, she told me my... So I prefer the tighter, athletic, like dark gray sweatpants, black, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's not what's in now. Now it's like the bell bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Giant wide leg sweatpants. So she bought me these. I will say they're comfortable as a motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like a jackass.
Yeah, you feel like a Walmart shopper.
Well, I feel like
out in public in sweatpants.
Yeah. Like, and these are nice. These are like probably $80 Nike sweatpants.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just feel like a homeless person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're comfy.
It's...
You're not homeless. You feel like you're at home.
I feel like I'm disgracing myself.
Yeah.
By not...
That's how I feel not shaving today. I usually shave every other day.
You...
But I'm not shaving today.
I'm going to be honest. The scruffle on your face now looks good on you. Like if you had a...
If I had a way to keep it that long?
If you had a... Well, first off, they're called clippers. Like, that's a good look for you. The problem is
the neck beard.
It's not, and not even the front neck beard, the back neck. It's like a...
I'm due for a haircut. See, it's a timing thing.
What the fuck does that mean?
I had to push this one out a little bit because I'll get another one before we go to Indy for the wet show, and I'll be freshly ready to roll.
Oh, fucking wet show.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, we're going to be in the wet show.
The longest week of my life.
Look for the Trade Winds booth at the wet show whenever you get there and get your program. Come by and say hi. We're eager to meet a lot of our listeners. We'll be there with We'll have Tradewinds stuff. We may even have some Void t-shirts there.
Yeah, I haven't decided what we're going to take. I may have made a mistake on the Monday event. So
probably.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we do.
Well, there's always like, I wish I'd have done this or I wish I'd have done that. I may have made an actual mistake. So we have, you're going to do whatever the fuck it is you do. And then we're having open bar for everybody.
Yeah, open bar, social hour.
Open bar. Well, it's not just social hour. It's open bar, and then during open bar, Q&A, mm-hmm. mastermind, dinner. Bar's still open during dinner. Dinner shuts down. Q&A and mastermind are going to roll, and open bar's till like 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Well, luckily, I mean, a lot of people are staying at the same hotel as us, and all the other hotels are within 2 blocks, so yeah. I don't think that's a problem. But I'm wondering what the fucking bill's going to be.
Well, it's members only. So
no, I know.
That'll clamp down a lot of that.
Dude.
It's not like you're going to have the guys from Milwaukee or Rigid like sneaking into your thing just for the open bar.
No, I know that. But I have also seen our guys
put down at
certain events where there was no open bar and the booze were really expensive, and that didn't seem to slow them down.
Yes, this is true.
So I'm just saying that I may have made a mistake.
Yeah, we'll see.
Hey, if you guys want to sign up for Tradewinds and just see what the fuck happens, yeah, I mean, you can always do that.
You can drink your membership cost at the bar.
We will not. So we videoed the last 2 events for speaking, and we will not be doing that this time.
Nope.
You know what? I will have my phone on me.
Well, we might take the camera and video like our own little DIY stuff, but nothing, no film crew there. So
now I'm wondering if I shouldn't.
What?
Like just carry the camera around.
Oh yeah.
And then blackmail said Tradewinds personnel.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. Oh, Tradewinds personnel.
Whoever.
Me.
You know, whoever. Right. Whoever falls down.
Yeah.
Whoever does something, we'll just have to keep an eye on them.
Yeah.
They're mostly responsible.
Yeah.
There's always a couple.
Yeah.
A couple of loose cannons.
Always a couple that you're like, wow. It only took him 2 beers to say that. I'd hate to see him after 6.
And then 6 goes by and he's asleep.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Man.
It happens.
It happens. Ah.
All right. So this show, we are... We talk a lot about how like work-life balance is a myth and it doesn't exist, but we haven't really talked about like how to go through life knowing that. And so, ironically, we were on a coaching call this morning where we had an opportunity to talk a lot about these kinds of things with one of our Tradewinds members who is like in the throes of life, you know, new-ish marriage, 2 kids under 5, like one's under 2 and one's under 4, I think. Didn't he say it was like 18 months and 3 or something?
I think it was something 3 years and the other one was less than a year old.
Yeah, something like that. And so, you know, married, kids, trying to start the business, like all the things. And so I wanted to kind of talk about like, how do you find balance when work-life balance doesn't exist? And because there has to be some form of real life somewhere. Otherwise, you lose your motivation, you burn out, and everything else. And so this actually, I thought about talking about this over the weekend when... me and Danielle were talking with some friends about like the phases of life, the different phases of life. And both Danielle and I agreed that during the phase of life where I'm busy working, I had not started our company. I'm busy working. She was kind of doing the stay at home mom thing. And the classic friction that comes between husband and spouse is always like, you're always away at work. You're never home with the kids and helping me with the kids and all of that stuff. And when you're in that, you think that's it. Like you think that's an argument you should be having. The wife thinks she should be campaigning for the husband to be home more. The husband thinks he should be campaigning for to be away from the house more. And so that's like a conflict kind of thing. Husband's a provider. I can't provide from the house. I got to be away at work or whatever, right? And it's not until later that we realize, like, you know what? That was kind of a silly argument, because the wife's come up with that argument just because they're lonely, not because they really want you there. They just want you to know kind of how lonely of a role that is. The husband's come up with the argument for the same thing. They want you to know how lonely it is to be working all the time and never getting to see your family and never getting to see the fruits of your labor and everything else. But what Danielle and I came to was that, you know, we probably shouldn't have ever argued about that, because like, what's the word? Like, instinct was correct. Instinct was she should stay home with the kids, nurture the kids. I mean, under three, the mom, like, the kids don't really want much to do with dad. Mom's the nurturer. Mom's the source of food. Mom knows the routines. Mom's the caretaker. Mom's the everything. And dad's the provider, right? It's kind of funny that we would argue about that stuff in the past, because I used to say all the time, like, babe, you raise them to two or three, and then I'll take over after that. They don't really want much to do with me before two or three.
Bitch, your job is done. I'll see you.
Yeah. And I've always and forever said, like, the coolest age of having, well, I've said two things. The coolest age of having a son is when they're three, because they know how to talk, but they don't know what shame is.
That's an all kid thing.
And so they'll talk about everything. That's, they'll walk up to you and be like, three, dad, my wiener hurts.
Yeah.
You know, they just don't care. Yeah. It's awesome. And so I've told Danielle, like, if I could foster 3-year-old boys,
oh,
like, if you could
no.
just give me 3-year-old boys, I'd no. foster them forever.
No, so, no, you'd kill yourself.
Oh no,
2 years.
I'd have so much fun,
dude.
But
you
know, there are so many times where you think, well, I can't be doing this because my wife's at home with the kids and everything else. And like, that's really about the time that you should, as long as you find a way to, I'm not even going to say regulate it. I'm going to say balance, or I'm not going to say balance it. I'm going to say regulate it. And so, you know, we talk about date night all the time. We wish we would have started it sooner. That would have helped out a ton, because, you know, I could work 5 or 6 nights a week, like in the living room on my computer, giving them half attention and my other half's focused to work.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But if I can find 3 hours a week, 3 hours every other week, to set everything down and put the sole focus on your spouse, that's kind of the little refresher that they need, right? And there's other things where you can find time to do things once you learn your wife's love language. There's other times where you can find times to do things that are impromptu. It just comes from a place of you always have to be looking out for those things. And if you let the business consume your mind, 100% of your bandwidth, then yeah, your wife is taking a backseat to the business, and not in a good way. But if you prioritize the business for the time where it makes sense to, while also finding moments to prioritize your wife, that helps a ton.
Yeah. It's such a broad topic. And the problem is everyone's situation, everyone's marriage or partnership, whatever, is so different.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, this is going to sound bad, and I don't mean it bad, but like, Danielle is a very, and justifiedly so, insecure person.
Yeah.
Because the way she was raised.
Divorce and everything else that, yeah.
Yeah.
The upbringing.
I'm the same way.
Right.
I'm not insecure, but I don't trust anyone. Right?
Yeah.
And it's not that I can change that. That's just how I am because of the way I was brought up, right? So, like, for her, and I think this actually speaks to a lot of truth for men and women both, when they're trying to understand their spouse. Like for you, it's taken a long time for you to realize that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not realize that, but how to effectively handle that
mm-hmm.
and how to make it work, right? Like there's no way that everyone is going to be perfect or average
mm-hmm.
when you have these types of conversations, right?
Right.
Like Janine would be on the complete opposite spectrum. And that's an issue in and of itself for varying, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I don't get a lot of pushback and I don't get a lot of lip and I don't, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But that's because she doesn't want to. Everything in her life has been very organized and standard and quote unquote the way things are supposed to be, right?
Right.
So she doesn't want to upset that apple cart, but that in and of itself creates issues for her, like mm-hmm. less emotional, less, you know, passion, less, you know, all of those kinds of things that sometimes in life you need a little drama to spur you and give you some excitement, right?
Right.
But the, I think what the real lesson to be learned is the faster that you can understand how to handle each other,
mm-hmm.
the better off you're going to be. Spotting the problems,
mm-hmm.
spotting the areas that they need attention in,
yep.
all of those things. Like the earlier you can identify that and then attack those issues, the better off you're going to be. The less problems you're going to have when you're running. And this is men and women both. The less issues you're going to have when you have to run out the door and buckle down and work,
right?
Right? Because you've already seen the issues. You've already had conversations about the issues. Those issues no longer exist. I think the problem is a lot of the time is by the time we realize both you and I are 44,
mm-hmm.
like you're just now, let's be honest, maybe figuring out how to handle those things in the last 3-4 years, right?
Yeah.
Well, you're already 40. Well, it's like, holy shit. What if I'd have known that when I was 30 or
that's
32?
That's exactly why we're talking about it.
That's what right. I'm saying. So
yeah.
I think the greater point is to have your eyes open and your ears open and be listening and try to understand exactly where your spouse is coming from so that you can be on the lookout for those things.
Right.
And we talk about it from a men's perspective because we're both men, right?
Right.
And the majority of trades-based business owners are men, but women are the same way. We have 3 women in our group right now
yep.
that like we have had candid conversations with them about how to understand their spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is what we need to be looking at. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not just a one-sided thing. We just talk about it a lot
yeah.
as if it's a one-sided thing.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about the 5 most common reasons for divorce. And then we're going to parallel those to how that relates to starting a trades-based business, right? But before we do that, we're going to do a quick word from Field Pulse.
Thank you.
Field Pulse is the field service management software for field service pros like you. Whether you're a small business looking to grow or a larger company ready to scale, it's got everything you need all in one platform. Field Pulse has advanced features to run your CRM, your customer relationship management system, your estimates and invoices, your scheduling and dispatching. It'll give you good, better, best proposals. It'll run your maintenance plans, and you can even import the Tradewinds price book. Plus, Field Pulse integrates with software you are currently using, like QuickBooks Online and your desktop PC, so you can hit the ground running without changing anything about how you do your day-to-day work. And by simplifying that day-to-day work, Field Pulse saves you time, keeps your team organized, gives you the tools to increase productivity and profitability. And it's not just us saying this. Field Pulse has earned a 4.8 rating across over 600 Google reviews. To learn more, head over to fieldpulse.com. That's fieldpulse.com. All right.
Field Pulse.
Bum, bum, bah. And if you head there through the link in the description of this show and you are less than a 3-man shop, they will still take you on. They usually don't take on shops that are smaller than 3-man shops, but we have worked a special deal because our clients are better than the standard 1-man. Our listeners are better than the standard 1-man shop. And so they will take you on if you use our link.
Oh,
that's pretty cool.
Goodness.
All right, so top five common reasons for divorce. Lack of commitment, infidelity, communication problems causing conflict, financial issues, and then growing apart / incompatibility. And so we're going to kind of dive through these top five reasons for divorce, and then we're going to kind of highlight, like, hey, in a, as a newly started trades-based business, how do you prevent this one from causing issues? So lack of commitment is kind of funny because it's frequently cited for the number one reason for causing divorce, indicating a partner's unwillingness to put necessary effort for the marriage to succeed. Put forth necessary effort.
I got to.
Often lending to breakdown in other areas. Well, it's kind of weird because we're committed enough to start a business. We're committed enough to take the risk and take the leap, right? Like, we're kind of showing our ability to commit to things when we start a business while we're married. And so everyone's worried about how things affect them, though, right? It's lack of commitment to me, the spouse. You know, I'm putting myself in the spouse's position. You're wanting to commit on work instead of commit to me. Or, as number three, communication problems, it's possible that you haven't communicated this in a way to where you starting the business is indeed a full-blown commitment to your spouse. And that's the conversation I had with my wife when we started ours, was like, if I don't start this business, I already know the path I'm going to be on. You're going to make about this much per year. I'm going to make about this much per year. We're going to have this quality of life. And so,
and that was unacceptable for you.
And I had loftier aspirations than that. And I'm not going to say that quality of life's bad. It's just, I would have felt, I wouldn't have been content with that. I wanted more.
People that want more would then feel trapped.
Yeah.
And depressed.
Yeah.
In that scenario.
And so when I explained it to Danielle, it was, everything was a we. It wasn't an I. It was a we. We are going to start this business. We are going to have a better life than what that is. And it's out, like, I never said it in these words, but it was out of my commitment to my wife that I started the business, because I wanted to be able to provide for the entire family. I wanted to be able to provide for more than just the family, the community, and a team of employees. I wanted to change the scope of how plumbing companies were viewed. I wanted to do things that I knew were right and I knew were for the better good, but that I wasn't allowed to do at other companies, right? But all of that kind of circled back to the idea of, this is a commitment, like, I'm doing this as part of my commitment to you. Now, sometimes women think commitment is doing things directly for them instead of indirectly for them, right? And so what I mean by that is, like, there's a famous, I think it's from Friends. There's a scene where two people are arguing. No, it's not. It's not Friends. It's Jennifer Aniston and one of the guys from Wedding Crashers.
Vince Vaughn. And they get divorced, but they're not married. I can't. But they break up. They're arguing in the apartment.
They're arguing over dishes.
Yeah.
And he's like,
that's, like, a great movie.
Like, she's mad that he didn't do dishes, and he said, I didn't want to do dishes. And now she's mad that he didn't want to do dishes. And it's like, I want you to want to do dishes for me. And he's like, nobody wants to do dishes. Like,
yeah,
it's just part of it, you know? But those are those things where, like, the communication is so bad, we're getting mad about things that are just instinctual. Like, nobody does want to do dishes, right? See, like, in that scene, she gets mad at him for a very rational instinct. I don't want to do dishes. Well, now I'm mad at you because you don't want to do dishes. Like, you should look forward to doing dishes because I want you to do dishes. And it's like, no, that doesn't.
We call that crazy talk.
Yeah. Well,
that's
unfortunately,
fucking
that's
crazy talk.
Unfortunately, that's pretty common in this world today. So,
yeah.
Can
be.
So, in going through this, it really helps if you understand what your love language is, and it helps if you understand what your partner's love language is. And I'm not trying to get all sappy, but There are instinctual ways that people feel appreciated from their spouse. Okay. Words of affirmation. I'm going to go through the five love languages.
Okay.
Words of affirmation. Expressing affection through spoken words, praise, or appreciation. Quality time. Giving your partner your undivided attention. Engaging in meaningful conversation. And sharing activities. Receiving gifts. The giving and receiving of thoughtful presents, which are symbols of love. Acts of service. Doing helpful things for your partner, like chores or running errands. And physical touch. Expressing love through physical closeness, such as hugging, kissing, or holding hands. So, most people will have two. They'll have like a primary and then kind of a secondary, right? And this isn't that kind of hokey stuff like zodiac signs and all of that shit, where if you didn't know anything about a zodiac sign, and I went and read the description of one of them to you.
I think all that stuff is bullshit.
Yeah, I do too.
I think it's fucking complete hokum.
Right. Now, I do think there is some merit to the astrology aspect of it.
I think it's all bullshit. Some. How much of it is, I've heard that enough that I just act that way?
So, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think most of that is just complete fucking bullshit, and people use it as an excuse to act like a fucking dumbass.
Right. Like, you're going to tell me that your behavior is altered by the time of year you were born?
Yeah.
That's just kind of weird, right? Now, societal behaviors based off of the astrology piece, I can kind of get that, right? Like, in other words, if the freaking moon can affect the ocean tide, then it's absolutely affecting human behavior. The moon affects animal behavior.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's absolutely, like, we're animals, so it's absolutely affecting our behavior too. Well, you compile that with the other alignment of planets, and you get stronger than average forces. And I do think there is some merit there. But when it comes down to the astrological sign, if you didn't know anything about that, and I went and read one of those to you, you'd be like, oh, that's me. Like, you could apply every, what are there, 12 descriptions?
Well, that's my point.
You could apply 12.
I could, that's my point.
Yeah.
I could, if I read you something and you're like, yeah, that's me. Well, was it because I read it to you and you just identified with it?
Right.
Or is it because it's true?
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Do you know much about the signs?
No, I don't know any of it.
Perfect.
You know why? Because it's fucking stupid. I am having a very, very difficult time already on this podcast. We're 27 minutes in of not just saying it's because most people are fucking dumb and that's the reason they have fucking marital issues. Like, it. People are so fucking petty and selfish.
I'm going to pull up the signs.
That's the reason. Oh, God. I'm going to fucking take this thing off the rails if I'm not careful. That's the reason most marital issues happen. It's because people are petty and selfish.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be that simple.
All right. What day is your birthday?
September 23rd.
That's what I thought.
Oh my God, everybody, Mitch's birthday is tomorrow.
Yep.
He's going to be 44. Young 44.
All right, here you go.
What do you got, like 10 years left before you're dead?
Practical, prudent.
I'm not practical.
Ambitious.
Yeah.
Disciplined.
Sometimes.
Patient. Careful.
Ooh, I'm not careful at all.
Humorous. Reserved. Pessimistic and fatalistic.
What's fatalistic mean?
Meaning, like, you see what's going to kill everything. Like this idea will die because of this. Like, that will never work because this doesn't work.
Well, like, I usually don't say something's going to die because this isn't going to work. I say if it doesn't work, it's because this happened.
Yeah, kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Kind
of the same thing. I don't think so, but okay.
Miserly and grudging.
What's miserly mean?
I
don't know.
A character of a miser. So maybe it's miserly.
I don't know what that means either.
His miserly great uncle proved to be worth nearly $1 million.
That doesn't give a definition of miserly.
Okay, we got to go miser.
Miser. I'm sorry, I wish I knew what it was. I have no idea.
A person who hoards wealth and spends as little money as possible.
I've become that.
Okay. So,
well, let me ask you a question.
That's not your sign, by the way. That's not even close to your sign.
Oh, okay.
I was proving the point that, like, if you don't know what your sign is supposed to be, you could read any one of those signs and be like, oh, yeah, that's me. Like, here you go. Emotional, loving, intuitive.
I'm very emotional.
Imaginative. Shrewd. Cautious. Protective. Sympathetic.
Empathetic, I would say.
Changeable and moody. Over-emotional. Oh,
moody for sure.
Over-emotional and touchy. You did want to stab me in the neck with a pin earlier.
That's because you're not doing your goddamn job.
but that's not even your sign, right? So,
no,
like,
it's
what
not.
I'm saying is we could put ourselves in all of these. So I don't really follow the signs much.
Well, and that was my point too.
Yeah.
Like, you can just be. What is it? The miser thing's got me messed up because I used to be super. I would spend every dollar I had.
Yeah.
I got a lot of cool shit. A lot of cool shit.
You had a lot of cool shit.
I still do.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now I'm not that way.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's the other thing too. Everyone wants to act all the time like people don't change. People mm-hmm. can't change. That's all bullshit. People change on a fucking weekly basis.
Yeah.
Now they may waffle back and forth between a couple of primary, I want to say personalities, but that's not what I mean.
Yeah.
Primary attributes that they carry on as their true selves. But dude, in a 10-year period,
mm-hmm.
like think about where you were 10 years ago and how you acted and things you did.
Yep.
Yeah, there
totally
may be,
different than
there
now.
May be a handful of five that are still true to who you are, but
yeah,
like there are a lot of areas you are completely different in.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so like as we're talking about like top five reasons for divorce, lack of commitment.
What was the first one again? Let's get back on track.
Lack of commitment was first one. Okay. So as you're doing this business venture with your spouse, if you understand their love language, then you can curtail the conversation with your spouse around how you are doing this business to satisfy their love language. Okay. So
we call that emotional manipulation.
Not necessarily.
Yes, it is. But let's be honest. Healthy marriages that go the distance, both of those people are good at it. And I don't mean good at it as in manipulation from a negative perspective, but a manipulation as in they know what to say to get you on board and they know how to make you happy.
Emotional influence, a positive emotional Same. Influence, right?
Potato, potato.
Well, a lot of people have manipulation as like a negative word, right?
Well, they just, that's what I was saying. They automatically assume it's negative and it's not.
Right.
I, by the way, am very good.
Yes, you are.
Getting people to do what the fuck I want them to do.
Yeah, you read people better than probably anybody I've ever met.
I should have probably been either a psychologist or a lawyer.
Or a psychiatrist.
That's what I meant. Wait, which one of them has access to drugs?
Wait, what side? Are you on the couch or are you in the chair?
I've been in the chair. I mean, I've been on the couch. I want to be in the chair this time.
But yeah, so lack of commitment, right? And if you can't find a way to phrase your desire to start your company out of a commitment to your spouse, then you probably are doing it for selfish reasons, right?
Yeah. 100%.
If you're like, I hate my spouse and I want to spend more time away from her, so I'm going to start a business that takes me away from the house, then just get freaking divorced.
This conversation is not for you.
Yeah. Like,
if that's you, this conversation is not for you.
And at that point, too, get divorced before your company takes off and your wife gets half of it.
That's a dark way to look at it, Mr. Pessimist.
I'm just saying. Just be real, right?
Oh, my God. Or at least get a partner at 1% so that
something.
She can't take the business. God damn.
All right,
bro.
So
are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Reason number two to get divorced: infidelity. Extramarital affairs causing, trust issues, serving as a symptom of deeper problems, emotional disconnection, and unmet needs, and all this crap, right?
Dude, I'm going to tell you right now, I know personally three guys that were so involved in their business that their spouse ran around on them.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were unavailable for them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Exhausted at the end of the day. Emotionally fatigued. Didn't want to be involved. You know what I mean? They were just completely wiped out.
Yep.
I am not of the proponent of it's always the man's fault when the woman cheats on him. But in those cases, dude, that's on you the majority of the time.
Well, it goes right back to the first one, lack of commitment, right? They don't feel commitment from their spouse, and so they're looking for commitment from somewhere. Yeah. They want to find somebody. Now, in that setting, spouse is busy working. They don't have the communication between each other well enough to where the spouse that's home understands that the spouse that's away working doing it for her or him, either which, right? So when you are feeling like your spouse doesn't commit to you, you will cling on to other people, married or not, that are finding time in their day to meet with you, to chat with you, to send pictures, to give you attention, right? And so that leads to a lot of infidelity. And so one of the ways that you can solve that is in the middle of your workday while you're away, and if you have to set a reminder on your phone to do this, whatever, you send your wife a message, whether it's a voice note, whether it's a quick phone call, whether it's a text. That is not normal communication. It's not like, can you get bread when you go to the store? Can you pick up my prescriptions while you're getting bread?
Mine's usually, if you don't pick up some beer on the way home, we're right. Getting divorced.
Yeah. Yeah. What time does the daughter have to be picked up from the sport?
Oh,
right?
God.
And it like you, this communication is unlike anything else. It is literally a message straight to the soul of your partner that shows that you appreciate him. You know? The example I did earlier on the call today, you pull out your phone and you're like, hey, babe, I've got a couple more hours of work to do, but I just wanted to let you know that I was thinking about you and I really appreciate everything you're doing there at home while I'm out here doing everything I can out here. We're a team in this and I appreciate you pulling your weight. I can't wait to see you tonight. I love you. That took like 30 seconds.
If I had to do that, I'd be divorced, by the way.
Well, your wife's different.
I'm just saying.
You know Austin Powers, the girls with like guns on their tits?
Yeah.
That's your wife.
Yeah,
She's pretty robotic and not afraid to shoot a motherfucker if she has to.
Yeah, that's probably true. there's probably some truth to that statement.
But I can guarantee you that there's not a woman out there that wouldn't appreciate getting a random message like that. And if we're talking infidelity, I guarantee your woman would appreciate that because that's what some other dude is doing if you're not doing it. If you are not giving your spouse attention
I know what I said earlier, but if that is the one thing that's keeping your spouse from running around on you, that's another problem, dude.
Yeah.
She got fucking issues.
Oh, very well could, right?
You know what I mean? And to my point earlier, too, of, hey, that's on you. There have been signs that you have ignored, and then it's got to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's be honest. Usually in those situations, you're at home, and the first thing she says to you is like, hey, are we fucking married or what?
Right.
Like, what are we? You know what I mean? It's not just out of the blue. It's you being you continually avoiding your spouse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
In a very intentional way. Like, there are other things that have come up before that
right.
that you've just ignored.
Well, and And another thing that happens too is as you start in business, you're very vocal about all the things you have to do. I got to get to the shop 10 minutes early because I got to make sure the grill's ready, or I got to make sure the parts are ready. Or in the middle of the night, you're like, ah, crap, I didn't call in that material. I got to call that in first thing in the morning. And your wife sees that you can remember to do all the tiny little things that it takes to keep the business running. But it proves to your wife you're capable of doing those things, but why can't you do it with a wife, right? Why can't you wake up in the middle of the night going, ah, crap, I forgot to send my wife a nice message to let her know I appreciate her in the middle of the day today. Ah, crap, I need to be ready for our date 10 minutes early so that I can make sure the car's ready and the or whatever, right? And so being able to share those things with your wife is key. But that, like sending them that little message in the middle of the day that's not like your normal roommate type messages, right? So much of marriage evolves into roommate communication. Hey, did you pay the light bill? Or I love the ones after you've been in an argument and you don't want to admit it, you start asking your spouse like the dumbest questions ever. Like, is the bread still in the pantry?
I can't even relate to those. I don't have those problems. Like, I've never felt more lost on a podcast than I feel today. Like, none of these are problems I have.
Yeah.
These are
problems I see in the trades world a lot.
I see, well, that's where I was going with that. Like, I see a handful of them.
Yeah.
And there are guys in Tradewinds that are like, hey, this is this and that and this. And it's like, dude, do you not recognize that?
Right.
And maybe that's the problem, is that I just see all of those things.
Yeah.
You know, so I avoid them in my own, like, they don't become an issue.
Yeah.
Like,
well, we've also been married 20 years too.
Blind.
So, you know, you and I have a different perspective on it because, you know, we went into marriage with a different mindset to result in being married 20 years now. So it's a little bit, and I don't want to say we're better at it, right?
I'm better at it.
I'll say this. We're better at all the small pieces. The overall thing, I don't say we're better at. But maybe our picker was better. Maybe we picked a good one. Maybe our communication was better. Maybe our willingness to change for the betterment of our spouse is better. Maybe our ability to give grace when our spouse screws up is better. Like, it's probably, we're probably,
that's a Mitch characteristic. Yeah. That is a, you, hey, it's no judgment.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, that's what, how
give
you
grace
are.
Or need the grace given.
Give grace.
Yeah.
You do that with your guys too.
Oh yeah.
Like, you are one of those people that will literally trust someone with every aspect of everything inside of their job description, circle, whatever. And don't even ask.
Yeah.
And like, just let them fucking roll.
I'm the opposite of a micromanager. Call me like a macromanager.
You're like, oh, this is yours. You own it. See ya.
Yep. I'll judge you on the outcome.
The third building that's been burned down. Okay. You know what? Maybe I got to pull some of this shit back. Like, you
maybe
know.
I should teach him how to use that torch.
Yeah. Like.
Yeah.
And to be honest, that's a, sometimes I wish I had more of that. You know what I mean? Because like, for business growth specifically, like there was no way I was doing that. Like, I'm holding on to that motherfucker. Like,
oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So problem number three is communication problems, right? The inability to talk things through, frequent arguing, lack of emotional presence, and you create distance and resentment, right? There's a saying that I say all the time. Uncommunicated expectations are nothing more than planned future resentments.
The whole last show was about that.
Yeah. And so communication is key, especially when it comes down to communication about expectations. And that doesn't mean you're laying down the law. I expect the house to be vacuumed when I get home, right? That doesn't mean that. It's like, hey, if you're home, I expect for you to keep the place on the upper half of clean. But I'm going to give you the grace to understand that you turned your back on the kids for 3 seconds and they turned the toy bin upside down and they painted the cat purple. Like, we're going to have that kind of willingness, but we know the desire is to keep the house on the upper half of clean. Right.
Yeah.
And it's not like I always joke around, most women, anytime company's coming over, you know, women think company are going to examine the baseboards or like, pull the toilet tank off the wall and look at the dust on the wall behind the toilet tank. Or examine every return error register in the house and see how clean or dusty it is. Or like get down and put their eye on the floor to see how much pet hair is on the floor.
Yeah.
Like ladies or ladies that listen to this show, I can almost assure you your house is clean enough. Like, especially from a guy that's gone into thousands of houses.
Yeah, Janine and I go through that all the time. It's like, you know, she wants the house to look as if no one lives there.
Yeah.
And that it's on show for yep. every realtor that wants to come in and sell the home.
Yep.
Dude, I can't find half my shit half the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, babe. She's like, no, it's disgusting. I'm like, no, you don't know what fucking disgusting is.
I saw something the other day that was like, my wife got mad at me because I used the kitchen. You know, like, I just cleaned that counter and now there's flour on it. Yeah.
Don't worry, baby. The maid will be here in a little bit.
That happens when you're cooking, right? Like, ignore the steam coming off the pot on the stove because I'm cooking dinner. I just cleaned the counter. Like, good. Thank you. You prepped it for me to cook. I'm using the house.
I'm trying not to be negative, but my next word is usually, yeah, you're going to fucking clean it again when I'm done. Like, I'm almost done and you're up.
Yeah. Nate Bargatze.
Dude, he's funny.
He's funny, and he's like the cleanest funny ever. No cuss words, no lewd subjects or anything. But
no, but he can be very. He'll drag you. He can pull you down real quick. Yeah.
He's the one who's like, my wife gets upset at me for like using the house, and it's like, yeah, it's supposed to get used. Like that's why they make vacuums. You know?
Oh my God.
And he has another one where he's like, we had a dog and I wanted another. And my wife said, no, like we don't want all this work. And it's like all this work. Like, what do you mean? Like when I let them out, like there's one dog, there's two dogs, all these dogs, like it's just a little bit more food.
Oh my God.
But yeah, he has a really good way of breaking that stuff down. But communication is,
I want to stay on the communication thing for just a second.
Yeah.
When you start a business, I know you touched on this just a little bit before, but communicating what life is going to look like after the start of the business, what the expectations are for the day-to-day life, so that your partner has a better understanding of what life is going to look like,
mm-hmm.
will put an X-nay on a lot of those problems before they even happen.
Yeah.
The problem is people start a business, they don't communicate anything except for financials, right? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you're out late. All of a sudden you're on the phone a lot. All of a sudden you're in meetings and can't be bothered a lot. The partner had no idea that any of that was going to happen. And what do they do first? They don't say anything. Oh, it'll change.
Uncommunicated expectations, planned resentments.
Well, that in is of itself is bad communication, because mm-hmm. you're not saying, hey, I didn't realize this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So then that animosity builds. And all of these things build on top of each other, on top of each other, on top of each other, until it's at a boiling point. And then it's a real problem.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, this is what it's going to be like. Then when that thing happens, your partner saying, oh, I didn't realize X, Y, and Z. Is it going to be like this forever? Yes, this is going to be like this. This is going to get better, whatever the situation is, so that there is an understanding of what life is going to be like for a while moving forward.
Right.
I think a lot of problems can be avoided if there is just more communication up front.
Yeah. Yeah. And willingness to understand that communication, right? Jacob Staller visited one of our Tradewinds events, and he said something at one of those events that's always stuck with me, and that is, if you can't talk to your spouse about something, then why are you even with them? And it woke my eyes open to the idea of like, yeah.
It woke my eyes open.
Yeah.
That's. I love it.
Yeah. But it's like, you're right. Like, your spouse is the one person that you should literally be able to talk about anything with. They want to know that weird, intrusive thought that you have. They want to know the weird things that you want to accomplish. They want to know your dreams. They want to know your aspirations. They want to know your fears.
Those are mine. You can't have them.
And I think a lot of people sugarcoat their communication with their spouse, and they try to, they're withholding things in that communication because they're either embarrassed or whatever else. And I can tell you from experience that until you go full 100% disclosure and honesty on all regards, there's not enough transparency or communication, right? For instance, if you are sitting at a restaurant and you see a woman that's beautiful, you should be able to acknowledge that person's beauty to your spouse without your spouse being like, oh, you think she's hot? Like you should have a level of communication with each other to recognize, yeah, that woman's very attractive.
Well, you should be mature enough to realize that there are other attractive people in the world.
Yeah.
And it's just your animal instinct to know that they're attractive.
Right.
Like, that doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong.
Right.
You're just pointing out, like, oh, this is what I perceive this as.
Right. And if you're listening to the show going, oh, God, no, I could never point out an attractive woman to my wife.
Dude, I'm...
That's
I know,
a sign that you need to work on your communication.
I know women that are just as bad.
Yes.
Oh,
oh yeah.
Dude's a smoke. Oh, my. Look at his beard. Look at his fucking beard. It's so awesome. Like,
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, cool. Like,
yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's okay. Relax, dude. She's not leaving you because that guy's got a good-looking beard. Like,
right.
Just fucking relax, man.
Right. We can't... Like, attraction is instinctual, right? We can't control what we're attracted to.
No,
we can control who we fall in love with, right?
Well, I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say we can control our actions.
Yeah. Yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
Right? And so...
can't control who we fall in love with. That may be... I love you. That may be one of the dumbest things you've ever said to me.
Well, if, like, go back to your single days, you see that attractive girl, it's your action to go talk to them.
I'm saying actually fall for someone.
Yeah, that's you're intentionally doing things that create that condition to happen. We like to sugarcoat it. We like to be like, oh, no, that's love at first sight.
You don't intentionally find that person attractive. That's a natural instinct.
Yeah, you instinctually find them attractive, but then you intentionally spark up a conversation.
Yeah, but the conversation doesn't mean you chose to love that person.
No, right, right.
You know what I mean?
But you made choices that resulted in the conditions for love to happen.
Maybe.
Right?
Maybe.
You acted on instinct.
Which means you didn't choose.
Well, I see what you're doing here.
Yeah, that's why I love you, buddy.
but being able to communicate literally anything, right?
Yeah.
Hey, babe, I'm freaked out. Our bank account's down to $57,000, and it's got me in a freak out mode. Meanwhile, there's other people that's bank account's down to $57, and they ain't freaking out.
No, they give no fucks.
But if that's you, you owe it to your spouse to communicate that, right? Don't act like that's taboo, right? There should be nothing taboo in conversations with your spouse. And I'm not saying you just got to go home and just start talking about weird shit. But what I'm saying is, like, you need to work to get to that level.
That's a slippery slope.
It can be.
And I think, side tangent, like, we all have our very personal intrusive thoughts.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how dark yours are to be able to just go tell them to your spouse.
Oh, no, they're dark.
I cannot.
My wife and I had a conversation the other day. If we were going to kill each other, how would we do it?
That's not even dark in my book.
That's like, not even dark in your book.
Dude, I'm not making that up. Like, I'm serious. Like,
wood chipper. So, got it.
I'm just saying before...
wood chipper.
Sometimes...
bags of evidence in the trunk while you're joining the search party for her body. I got it.
I'm just saying.
She's in the trunk the whole time.
Mitch, you may not understand how dark some of these motherfuckers that listen to this show are.
Oh, I get it.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Be careful out there, people.
Yeah.
Be careful.
They're writing messages on bullets.
So, that's horrible, but funny as fuck.
So the inability to talk things through all comes from lack of communication, right? Well, if you can talk about the weird thing, you can talk about the intrusive thought, you can talk about you can talk about things that cause division in other marriages that don't cause division in yours. That's all working down the process of like phenomenal communication.
Agreed.
And financial issues. To me, financial issues and communication are identical. They are separate on the list, but they all financial issues are derived from poor communication.
Yeah. Right? Like what I have a very specific example. I won't say who they are, but I know someone that's been divorced and it was because of financial issues. Like they were strapped, right? Mm-hmm. Every month's tight. Everything's, you know.
Yep.
And the issue turned out to be she didn't want to go to, this is a real life situation.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't want to go to work.
Yep.
They talked about it constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly, constantly, constantly. Maybe there should have been communication at the beginning of the marriage.
Right.
That, hey, I expect to not work and just take care of the kids, not work with you and the kids go to daycare.
Yeah.
Or do whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because then there would have been planning of we have to live smaller than we are now.
That goes
we
back.
We have to, you know what I mean? Like there's going to be a need to be a plan in place before all of this happens. Now, I'm not saying right or wrong, she should have went to work, whatever. That's not my point. My point is if there were open conversations at the beginning, not after all of that animosity had been built throughout a 5 to 6 year period,
mm-hmm.
you never would have even got there.
Right. Right.
I mean, I think the bitch should have went to work, but what, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
That all comes down to communication and being timid about communicating the real things, right? She was timid about not communicating before they got married that she wanted to stay at home. He was timid about not communicating before marriage that he intended on her working, right? So they're both.
Well, and it was more after the fact. He didn't say anything for years about money being so tight,
mm-hmm.
and wishing that she would go to work, and just kind of hinted around it and didn't have open communication about that. Well, that animosity just builds.
Yep.
And then when he says, you got to get a job because we don't have any money, and she doesn't say, no, I'm not, and these were the communications or the expectations I had when we got married, and doesn't say anything, and he just keeps on her, you need a job, you need a job. She doesn't say anything, you need a job. Like that animosity just goes back and forth,
yep.
and back and forth and back and forth. And I think that, more than anything, I know it's not a specific example on your list, creates unrectifiable conditions,
mm-hmm.
in a marriage that even when you get through certain things, it's too late.
It's too late.
It's too late. You've grown to hate that person,
yep.
for who they quote unquote have become, even though they're not really that person.
Right.
But there's sometimes just no coming back from that.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Which is horrible. You know, it's just like, that's, I think, the worst case for anyone to get divorced is that there was 4 years or 5 years of being miserable before it happened.
Right.
Like, I'd rather just be cheated on, you know, and find out, and then it's like a quick,
don't,
you know,
stay married for
month.
The kids, get divorced for the kids. You know,
we're not going down that path.
And I'm not advocating for you people to get divorced, but what I'm saying is there's a lot of people that keep themselves in a miserable situation. They think they're hiding it and they're not. And they're saying, oh, I'm staying married for the kids. Well, your kids already know you guys don't love each other. So, like,
I don't know. I'm a good actor.
Yeah, maybe. but like,
no, I get what you're saying.
Your kids would actually be better off if you got divorced so that your kids could actually see what it's like to grow up when their parents, step-parents, whatever, actually do appreciate and love each other. Because staying married, like, if you're not very good at hiding it, and whether you know it or not, you're gonna show your kids what it's like to be miserable with your wife. And all you're teaching is, you're teaching your kids that marriage is miserable.
I agree with that to a certain point. I think people use that as an excuse a lot of times to justify not putting in the work to stay married.
Yeah.
You know, I just, so.
Yeah, yeah. So like we will, Danielle and I, when we have a disagreement, we don't hide it from the kids. Because we want the kids to be able to work. We want the kids to see us work through a disagreement. So, you know, now does that mean we only fight in front of the kids? No. But like, it's not a thing where we're like, we'll talk about this later.
Yeah. The kids don't have that much free time.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll do all that.
Yeah, well, you're picking and choosing.
I've got a funny story about a spat that I'll get to later.
Is this? Never mind. I was thinking about what we talked about last week after the show. Disregard.
I don't know what that was, but
yeah, you do. You just don't know.
Okay,
you don't know that you know.
So financial issues are simply just another form of.
You okay? Are you gonna die on me?
I don't know. Another form of miscommunication. Only it's just miscommunication with money, right? And so we have to communicate that early on. What do we spend? What do we make? What are our savings goals? What are our debt goals? What are our financial goals? All of these kinds of things. And one thing I will tell you, because marriage seems to commonly have one person in the marriage who puts a higher value on money than another. That seems to be a common thing.
Well, it's because opposites attract in general.
Yeah.
And financially, it just makes sense.
Yeah.
That opposites would attract.
So for the person that places a higher value on money than the other, you can make more. Like.
Oh, shit. We're going to go off the rails.
What I mean is like, don't blow. I know a couple that got divorced over a pair of jeans.
What?
Because
there were underlying issues.
Well, that was the spending straw that broke the camel's back, right?
I was going to say, there's no fucking way.
And it's like, give some grace. Punt that, like, never change the goal, change the deadline, right? The goal is to curtail the spouse's spending habits. But they're going to slip up, right? No different is like, if your goal to quit drinking and your spouse is going to help you with that, your spouse has to understand that you're going to slip up. And you're going to struggle.
Yeah.
And they got to give you grace. And they're not going to divorce you over the next drink. Right? They're going to say, dang it, we made more progress, but we went back. And then next time, we made even more progress, but we went a little back. We backslid a little bit. Right? It's the same thing on the spending thing. But for some reason, guys get their emotions involved a lot. Because usually it's the wife spending. Because that's the cliche thing. Right? Like the wife's got an affair with the Amazon guy. Or gets a Christmas card from the Amazon guy. Or whatever.
Your wife does spend a lot of money.
Yeah, I know.
On Amazon.
January 1st, it was like noon, and I said my wife hadn't bought anything on Amazon in all year.
Something showed up at 12:35.
I think we made it 3 days. So.
I mean, it's so funny. I said this earlier. Like, I used to just spend money. Like, I just buy whatever. And I still will, but not nearly as bad as Janine hates every aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of the things that we talked about early on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, if we save X, Y, and Z, and you know this about me.
Mm-hmm. Then we can spend whatever we want.
Then it does it really matter?
Right.
Well, no, I guess not. Okay, well, it's been 22 years, so we're good.
It's working.
You know what I mean? It worked.
Yeah.
And you know what the
key
was communication.
Communication, exactly. Like, and so that's why financial issues are just a physical form of communication issues, right?
My love language is financials. That's great. Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm a freak in the Excel sheets, right?
Dude, that'd be a great shirt for you. Oh, that'd be gold.
Yeah.
Oh man. For those new to the show, we are maybe about to start selling some apparel. So, you know,
yeah,
we'll see. Maybe we'll make that a Mitch only shirt.
Yeah. the last one to cause for divorce is growing apart and incompatibility. And this is the long-run play of poor communication, right? And where this typically, where I see it deriving from, is if you don't communicate with somebody long enough, you think you know who they are.
Yeah, those are short marriages.
Yeah.
3-5 years.
And if you don't communicate them even longer, they're becoming somebody different. And you don't know it because you're not communicating. And so, if you communicate with the ultra level of transparency, and if you communicate all of those intrusive thoughts, and if you communicate all of those desires, then guess what? You have the best chance for you to grow with your spouse. You grow together in the same direction. But you don't communicate long enough, and all of a sudden, you start getting this passion over here that you never communicated with your wife. I want to live in Florida. I want to sell the business. I want to become a professional athlete. I want to do this. I want to do that. But you never communicated it with your spouse, but you internalize it long enough. Well, now it becomes my spouse is holding me back from really achieving my dreams of living in Florida, being an athlete.
You mean dreams that you never fucking told him about?
Exactly.
When I think of this, I think of couples that get married too soon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they didn't communicate when they were dating. They didn't date long enough to realize who that person was and what they loved and what they talked about. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, what drove them. They get married, and 3 years down the road, they're like, holy shit, this person isn't even who I thought they were.
Right.
Well, it's because you didn't give it any time.
Right.
You didn't tell them what you were about. They didn't tell you what they were about.
Right.
Like, I see that a lot.
Yeah.
This whole, well, we've been seeing each other for 8 months. What?
Right.
Get the fuck out of here.
Well,
Mitch was different 8 months ago.
Yeah.
From now.
Right.
Like, come on.
The, you know, Elon Musk, one of his wives, because he's been divorced a couple of times, at least once I know of.
I don't, you know what? Continue.
He went to his wife, and obviously things were not on the rocks, like weren't working well anyway.
They were rocky already.
Yeah. And he said, I want to go to Mars, and that's going to take a lot of my work and a lot of my time. And it's going to be expensive. And so if you're not 100% on board with me going to Mars, then we need to get divorced now. Because it's just going to get ugly if you say you're on board and you're not on board. And I am on board. And then it's just going to get nasty and ugly. And so I think it's better. And he's like... Like, this was one of his more amicable divorces.
Amicable.
Okay.
I have no idea. I'm making that up. I don't know if that's right or not.
Amicable? Yeah.
That
sounds right.
Continue.
We'll get blasted in the comments if it's not right. But
you know what? This was the first time.
Yeah. This was one of his more proper divorces to where they were like, yeah, I don't think I want to be married to a guy that dedicates as much work as it's going to take to go to Mars. So, yeah, okay, we'll just get divorced. And so they did. And that was an example, like whether it's the right decision or wrong decision, I'm not here to judge that. It's an example of the proper level of communication needed in order to get the outcome that you want, right? Uncommunicated expectations are future planned resentments. So he communicated the expectation. I want to go to Mars. I want you to go with me, but if you're not all the way on board, then we need to break up now or get divorced now because...
I think that's a crazy way to look at it. And this is why.
It's an extreme example, but it's the most pure example I could think of.
Well, let me ask you this. Mitch Smedley wanted to sell the plumbing company.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch Smedley goes to Danielle and says, I'm selling this business because I want to do Tradewinds, mm-hmm. and I think it's fantastic. And Danielle says, no, we're not doing it. I don't want to do that. Is that a divorceable situation?
No. No, it's the beginning of a long conversation. And when I say long, I mean, I'm not talking hours. I'm talking days, weeks, months, years.
I know. That's not my point. My point is, I know that you wanted out of Smedley, 100%. Mm-hmm. I know this beyond a shadow of a doubt. You and I both knew this.
Yeah.
If she was like, no, we're going to run Smedley. I don't care. And like, that was your viewpoint and that was her viewpoint.
Yeah.
Like, is that a...
Yeah, I don't...
My point is the Elon Musk thing is horseshit because a reasonable individual that has said, I'm going to be with this person for life and mm-hmm. has done it in front of hundreds of friends and family will never go to their spouse and say,
give them
it's
the ultimatum.
This way or no way, the ultimatum. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, I think it's somebody at the level of Musk and the intricacies of Musk.
I think it's a bad example, I guess, is my point more than anything. Because that's not, let's be honest, you wouldn't do that.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Like, because you have...
I think the key thing that comes with Musk is the idea that there were already rocky paths.
Maybe.
Like,
in that.
This was the nail in the coffin.
Maybe.
It wasn't the first piece of kindling to catch fire.
And maybe there could have been things that had led up to it of, you know, we've been married and you're at work all the time.
Right.
And finally he's like, okay, look, work is going to dictate my life.
It's going to get even
so
worse.
So what are we going to do?
Right. Right.
Like, and I get that. Like, that makes sense. Right.
Yeah.
But I guess to my point, always be thinking ahead of where you're at. If it, and what I mean by that is, don't be so self-absorbed that you're not thinking that she may come to me and be like, hey, you've been at work too much.
Right.
You know what I mean? Always have your feelers out there of, man, I've been at work a lot. I wonder if this is affecting our relationship.
Right.
Man, money has been tight for 4 months. I wonder if this is affecting our relationship. Don't be so selfish and so pinholed in everything that you want to accomplish that you forget about we.
Yeah.
We is the mothership, right? And I think that, whether it's men, women, whatever, I think that being selfish, being self-driven to the point where you ignore everything else around you, mm-hmm, is the main cause for divorce. Now, does that come down to communication in a lot of aspects? Yes.
Yeah.
It does. But you're so blind because you're so selfish that that's what really was the cause of that divorce.
Well, and one of the things you very well said, growing apart and incompatibility, one of the things that it mentions, especially if they married young, without self-awareness, right?
Dude, how about that?
Right.
God damn, I'm good.
Yeah, and they kind of rushed into it, or they hadn't. And there's no like maturity test that you have to pass in order to get married, right?
No, and it's not necessarily an age thing either. You know what I mean? People that are 32 that do it too quickly are the same as people that are 22.
Right.
People at different levels in their life, myself included at 22, was way more mature than guys that you and I deal with that are 28 and 30.
Yeah.
Because I've just at a different place in my life at that time.
And the one thing that you have to keep in mind here, just like there are very few parenting experts in the world, there are very few marriage experts in the world. And what I mean, I don't want to say somebody who calls themselves a marriage expert.
Oh, yeah, because they're everywhere.
Right. There's a lot of people that call themselves a marriage expert, but just people, real life experiences, right? A true marriage expert has only been married to one person. So how can you be really an expert at something if
yeah,
you know what I mean?
I completely.
But then the flip side is like, okay, you've been divorced 5 times. I don't think you're a marriage expert either. If anything, you're a divorce expert.
Oh, fuck.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, and I'm not knocking on either person. I'm just saying that.
Well, perspective is real.
What I'm saying is there's a reason marriage is tough, and it's because there is no black or white way to do it, because you're taking two completely separate personalities with two different, you know, they're two different characters, two different dreams, aspirations, visions, everything, and that two people that operate under stress completely differently as well.
Yeah, it's hard to manufacture stress when you're dating.
Yeah.
Like, you're not involved with money.
Yeah.
You know, at a fucking stressful level.
Right.
Until, and let's be honest, probably not even for the first 3 years you get married, unless you just make some really fucking bad decisions.
Or until you have a kid. Right? Kids throw you for an emotional curveball that you aren't ready for, crying in the middle of the night, lack of sleep, unexpected doctor's visits, costs, childcare. Like kids will pile on stress.
I think kids are the tipping point a lot of the times, mm-hmm, but it's not because having the child was bad. It's that you had no, and this is going to get back to the selfish thing. I think for good marriages, and I'm just going to use Janine and I as an example. When we had Layla, that everything else didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And we were unified with the kid. If you're in a rocky relationship and you have a child, all it does is amplify the issues that were already there.
Yep.
And so people say, oh, we had a kid and we got divorced. Eh, it wasn't the kid's fault. It was that you already had problems and you just weren't really paying attention to what the fuck was going on. You're selfish. You don't want to get up every night and take care of the kid, even though that may be your job right now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I think people, and I just keep harping on this selfish thing, people don't understand that when they get married, it ain't about you anymore.
Right.
When people have kids, it ain't about you anymore.
Right.
It's about we.
Yeah.
And we comes first.
Yep.
And if you keep saying, I need this, I need that, I need financial stability, I need time to sleep because I can't get up with the kid every night, I need a break from work, I. All your every I is a nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's, if you are that way, you will not be married long. It doesn't fucking matter what it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what's going on.
Right.
It will not. The only way that I've ever seen those relationships work is if the other person is a complete fucking patsy.
Yeah.
And just is, okay, dear.
Okay.
I'll do that for you, dear.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Okay, and it's fine. And that guy is thinking about hanging himself every fucking day because he hates his life.
Yep.
But he's just doing it.
Yep.
You know?
Going through the motions.
He's going through the motions.
Yeah.
Every freaking day.
So, hopefully this show helped you realize some things that you can do to allow your marriage to flourish while you're growing and building a business. But this show was actually two shows in one, because now you can go back through this entire show again and replace spouse with team or employee. And the exact same things happen. Five common reasons that you would divorce your team or divorce an employee, or an employee divorces you or the company. Lack of commitment. Infidelity.
What do you mean by infidelity when it comes to business?
Side work? Yeah, cheating on the company.
Gotcha.
Or the company cheating on the employee, right?
Yep.
Communication problems, lack of communication, financial issues, disagreements on wages and pay and
lack of
charges.
Communication and expectations at the start of a job. At the end of a job,
right?
For vacation, whatever.
And so placing a ultra high level of importance on these five things is huge. And just like your spouse has love languages, your employee does too. And learn them. Some of your employees are very emotional. Play into that. Some of your employees are very big on receiving praise in public. Some of your employees would be embarrassed as all get out if you praise them in public. Learn all of these things, because it will help you keep employees. It will help you keep good employees. I spent an entire year learning how to be a better gift giver. And then I tried implementing it for a year and I kind of failed. And it wasn't until recently that I finally made all the connections. And I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, I got Danielle like an upgraded diamond wedding ring.
Ugh.
But yet the gifts that I got Danielle for Christmas this year were probably the best, most memorable gifts ever. And I spent the least amount of money on her this year than ever. But it's because I really tuned into what drives her, what makes her happy, and focused on gift giving, right? The reason I'm telling that story is because you're going to focus on these things. It ain't going to change overnight. If anything, it's going to get worse, because now you're going to be aware. Oh, no wonder we argued about this. We didn't communicate it over here. And now you got to like claw your way back, right? Oh, no wonder we argued about this. We had different levels of commitment. Oh, no wonder we argued about this. I thought 10 grand in the bank account was enough and she wants 100, right?
Bitches be crazy.
Yeah. And so replace spouse with employee or team, watch the whole show again, and run the same play both ways. And you will learn that the better you can take care of your spouse and communicate to your spouse and solve problems for your spouse, and the better you can do that for your team, you're going to watch both grow. There is a quote for the guys who listen to this show that watch Landman. I brought it up this morning on our TradeWinds call. There's a section in there where he is having a bad day. And this was the season finale that just came out Sunday. But there's a section in there where he is having a bad day and he is being made aware of like just shit keeps happening. And he's driving down the highway and he's not an overly religious guy. But he he gets a phone call, or he's walking to his truck to get on the highway. And he like looks up at the sky and he was like, God, can you take it a little easier on me?
Can you give me some fucking grace, right? Dog?
And so then
I say that shit all the time.
So then he's on a phone call in his truck and he gets more bad news. And
does he just stop and get out and be like, hey, nope. I thought we just had this fucking conversation.
Puts the phone down, kind of looks up at the roof of the truck, and he was like, really, God? Come on. Right? Can you just have something go my way today? And then right in front of him, like a 15-car pileup happens. Cars flipping, flopping. And he gets out of the truck and like surveys the damage, and he's like, real funny, God. Real funny. Right? But then...
You're not in the pileup.
Yeah.
I mean...
He escaped unscathed.
That's what I'm saying. Right? You're not in the pileup,
right,
bitch.
But then his wife... he tells his wife, meet me on this plane. We got somewhere to go. And she's like all wanting to be emotional. And he kind of cuts her off. And he's like, babe, I got way too much to talk about with you. And none of it's good. Meet me on the plane. And that was his message to her. Like, we ain't talking about this over the phone. Right. So then she finds out that this thing has happened. And I don't want to spoil the show if you haven't watched it. And she gets mad at him because he's had these things happen to him and he hasn't shared them with her.
Yeah. And she's a typical crazy fucking psychopathic woman.
And he says, look, I don't bring problems to you unless I have solutions. And I don't have solutions yet. So as soon as I have solutions, I'll let you know all my problems.
Man, that's... Dude, how many times do I got to say the selfish thing? That's the,
right.
That's her thinking, oh, no. That's
right.
Why am I not involved? Well, because it don't fucking involve you.
Because it's out of risk. He doesn't want you to worry unfairly about something that he just hasn't solved yet, right? Let him solve the problem, and then let him communicate everything to you. And now you'll think of him even higher because he had this problem, didn't even tell you about it, came up with a solution, had you in mind with it, and now, boom, everything's cool, right?
Yeah.
And so same thing goes with anything else in your business. Try not to... He says, I don't bring up problems until I have solutions, because if I do, I'm just complaining, is how he says it. And yes, your employees will do this all the time. If your employees bring a problem to you without a proposed solution, they're doing nothing more than complaining. So when your employee brings a problem with you, don't call them a complainer. Share with them, like, you're right, that is a problem. What do you think we should do? And whether you take the employee's advice, it doesn't matter, but work your employee through that process, and your spouse, same thing. Interchangeable here. Work them through that process of like, you're right, this is a problem. What should we do? And that way both people are figuring out, how do we solve this problem? Because if we aren't solving the problem, then one person's complaining and one person has to come up with a solution. And that ain't good. Right? So,
yeah.
If you're brave enough, run this show back and replace spouse with employee or team. And you'll see that both of these things are interchangeable.
I can be.
So how to stay married while growing a business is the same way to how to grow a business while staying married. They're interchangeable. They're the same.
Yeah.
So focus on those five things: commitment, lack of infidelity, create communication, minimize financial issues through great communication, and you won't grow apart and you won't be incapable because you know where each other stands. So... until next week, guys, we'll see you later.
See you.